Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
All right, special guest in a sec. Shout out to the Miller Lite Bar of the Week. And this is one I've been to many times. It's a great bar in Philly. I love this place. Shout out to Oscar's Tavern. Today's Miller Lite Bar of the Week is Oscar's Tavern in Center City, where you can watch all Philly's games with $3 Miller Lite pint specials. Check out Oscar's Tavern on Facebook. Oscar's is an awesome place. All right, what a pleasure. I mean, Jack and I, just a couple idiots doing a podcast. And, you know, we get to talk to a Major League Baseball player who, like, you know, appreciates us. And when he's in town, he's like, yeah, sure. Like, we love you, Mick. Mickey Modiak, our guy, like, the official baseball player of the IOPS podcast, whether he's a Philly or not, took some time to talk to us. Take back coming up in a few. But we hope you enjoy this. I know he's the enemy for 3 days, but I'm pretty sure everyone who's a member of the IOPS community is always going to be a fan of this guy. So here's our guy, Mickey Moniak, joining us a little bit ago. All right. It's our distinct pleasure to welcome back to the podcast, multiple time guest, friend of the pod. He may be playing for the Angels right now, but he will always be the favorite baseball player of this podcast, no matter where he is. Our guy crushing it out in L.A., no big deal. Shohei Ohtani tells people, I play with Mickey Moniak. Mickey!
What up, fellas? Now, I mean, I told you this morning, but if you need me to organize a standing O and get the whole fan base ready to go, I got your back, man. It's gonna be a good sign. The boy returns home.
I don't know about all that, but definitely excited to be back for a few days. And yeah, it should be fun. Should be good seeing everybody and, you know, being back to where it all started.
Well, I'll tell you what, Citizens Bank Park's a little different than the last time you were around.
Well, Mick, let's start with that. Go ahead, bud. Go ahead.
No. I mean, what do you got? What's different?
I want to get to the Angels stuff and what it's been like out there. But seeing the from afar, like the standing ovations for Turner thing and how, you know, he's talked about it changing his season and all that. As someone who played here and saw what it was like and was back, you know, and saw that playoff atmosphere, what's it like to see that from afar and kind of see, you know, from the outside, knowing what it's like, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was incredible. I think, you know, just watching the playoff run that the boys had last year and you know, just seeing how that fan base rallied around the guys during that whole run to the World Series was, you know, something that, you know, when I got drafted, I dreamed of being a part of. And, you know, obviously that didn't happen, but being able to watch it and see, you know, all the guys that I grew up with, some of my closest friends, you know, still to this day, be able to experience that was special. And you know, just kind of shows what the Philly fan base is all about. And, you know, what I knew it was all about, you know, just had to get some winning involved. And once that happened, it was awesome to see it. And then obviously, you know, watching what they did for Trey, rallying around him and now kind of seeing him go on that surge and be the Trey Turner that they signed it was super cool to watch for sure.
Now, obviously, we'll get back some Phil stuff, but man, you're killing it out in LA. How's it been? I mean, like a big kind of like weight lifted off your shoulder, and now like just watching from afar, it just seems like you can just go out there and play. What's it been like as an Angel?
It's been great. You know, I think, you know, as much as I would have liked to be doing this in Philly, I think a change of scenery was good for me and you know, just kind of getting a fresh start. Obviously didn't play the way I wanted to for the Phils, and I'm grateful for every second that I got to spend there and all the development that I did there. You know, I don't think that I'm doing what I'm doing right now without everything that went on, you know, the 7 years I played in Philadelphia and, you know, coming through the minor leagues there. So it's been fun, man. I think, like you said, just going out and playing baseball, trusting myself, having confidence in myself. And, you know, I've always known it was in there. It's just took a little bit to come out.
Yeah. And I mean, it helps your plan with, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. Like, I mean, James and I are baseball geeks, and like our fans are all geeks. Like, I mean, can you explain to us like what Shohei Ohtani is?
Honestly, I honestly don't think I can do that, because it's one of the most impressive things that I've ever gotten to watch on a baseball field. You know, I've been fortunate enough to play with a lot of really good players, you know, in my short career so far. And you know, just for me going out there and getting ready for the starter, you know, every day. And you know, that's tough enough. But, you know, when he was going out there every fifth day, getting ready to face, you know, an opposing lineup and dominate them, and then go out there and get three hits and maybe a homer or two. You know, I've seen some of the crazier feats that have been accomplished in this game firsthand. So it's something that I'll be able to tell my kids about. You know, I think the one in particular that stands out was when we were in Detroit, you know, going out there throwing the complete game shutout and then going out to two homers. And
yep. I was watching that on, I was that it was like during the day I was home. I was watching that as it happened. I'm like, geez Louise, man.
It's ridiculous. He's not of this planet. It's, yeah, I mean, it's something I'm going to tell my kids about. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're playing with the greatest baseball player of all time, personally. Like that's I don't even know how you can argue it. You know, you can say other people have had better careers, but in terms of just like pure talent, like the best ever. Mick, I wanted to ask, you talked a little bit before about kind of getting a fresh start in Los Angeles. And I've always found that interesting as someone who doesn't play the game. You always hear that with, you know, you were the number one pick in the draft, you know, like a top prospect. You always hear that with top prospects who sometimes don't get the opportunity somewhere or it doesn't work out. And if they go somewhere else and succeed, it's like, oh, they just needed a fresh start. Like how real is that? Like that, is that something that is like tangible to you?
I think it's very real. You know, I think a few things go into that. I don't think it's just like, I think when you say a fresh start, I think there's a lot that goes into just that statement right there. I think for me, it was, you know, when I was with Philly, there wasn't a real long leash for good reason. And, you know, I didn't validate, getting everyday opportunities to play. I think, you know, there was a lot of money on the field. The team was built to win now. And, you know, obviously we saw that last year making the World Series run. And, you know, for me, it took a little bit to get comfortable. It took a little bit to kind of feel confident in the box in the big leagues and facing big league pitching and kind of just slowing the game down. I think for me, it came with reps. And, And so in that sense, coming over to Anaheim last year, not really in a playoff hunt, kind of just had a little bit longer of a leash to go out there and get every day at bats and kind of fail and learn and figure out how to hit in the big leagues, you know, what I need to do on a daily basis and kind of just refine an approach up there was something that I needed. And unfortunately that opportunity wasn't given in Philly for good reason, like I said, and no ill will towards anybody over there. You know, I think I'm always grateful for the time that I spent over there, the people that I met, that whole journey, like I said, led me to here. And then on top of that, just being back in California, an hour away from home. I tell the story when I got traded. The travel guy, Tom Taylor with the Angels, called me and he's like, so we're going to fly you into Orange County. And at the time, my car was at my parents' house. So it's like, I was like, I think you can just fly me to San Diego and I can just pick up my car and drive up. And I remember that once I asked that, it's kind of just set in. And then, you know, had my girlfriend pick me up at the airport in San Diego that next day and got my car and drove literally an hour to the stadium. You know, the same drive that I made 100 times when I was a kid going to travel ball tournaments up north in Orange County. And it was just a surreal feeling. Just remember driving by Angel Stadium on a, you know, always in awe of it. You know, never went there as a kid growing up, but always drove by it. And, you know, it was, sticks out like a sore thumb. It's right off the freeway. It's right there. And it was something that was pretty cool. I remember driving up to the stadium and just kind of being like, wow, this is, I'm going here to work now. It's not,
yeah,
it's, that's, we're in the awesome big leagues. And I think, just a lot of things going into, to, you know, the so-called fresh start was huge for me.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, obviously, I mean, you're hitting tanks earlier this season out there in LA. I mean, where did this power come from, man? Like, you were like, what, 140 pounds when we drafted you?
Oh, about 142, maybe. Soaking wet. No, I don't know. Hey, listen, I hit 6 in spring training last year.
People forget that.
Well,
and you broke your wrist. You had
Listen. Ryan Yarbrough is still Ryan Yarbrough is still enemy number one of this podcast. Like,
yeah,
like
man.
Trent Thornton hit Bryce in his first year here, and Bryce is a little gimpy. John Lannon broke Utley's hand in 2007. He'll always and Ryan Yarbrough. Those are the three guys who I can't stand.
Yeah, Blake Snell. If the Phillies hadn't have made the playoffs last year,
Blake Snell
hadn't had his run, like Blake Snell would be right on that list too. We remember them, Genesis Cabrera.
Well, because team, like, dude,
I remember all this.
The game, it was the last freaking game of spring training, and it was in Tampa, and you hit a home run.
And you were white hot, like white hot all spring.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, was, we were like, yes.
Mickey.
I'll never forget.
It was like, no.
Yeah.
I remember it was the weirdest thing, too, because I had a feeling after my first at bat hitting that home run. I don't know what it was, but in the back of my head, you know, you get those just like, something's not right. Like, there's a bad feeling in the back of your head, and it was a weird moment. But, you know, it happened, and it sucked, and, you know, just got to move on, learn from it.
Yeah.
And obviously, didn't hit again. Got to Anaheim and got hit again. That sucked too. So, and then got hit again last year. So.
Just stop getting hit.
It was a roller coaster last year. So, just grateful to be healthy this year and. Luckily, not getting hit in the hand 3 times. It's definitely pretty sweet. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we are obviously happy for you. And it's been like, it's just been, honestly, like, now the pressure's off, you know, at least here. Because, like, with you, it was like, that's our guy. Like, he's our future here. And now it's like, hey, you can just go cook elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, so unfortunately, we're not reaping the rewards of you going off, but it's okay. We are. Yeah,
we're just happy for you, man.
Yeah,
that's
all.
You just want you to succeed. Yeah. Best, and maybe someday you'll find your way back here, you know?
Yes.
And let me tell you something else too, Mick, seriously, like, no joke, dude, whenever you are done playing baseball in 15 years or whatever it is, like, you could talk about baseball, man. You're a good talker. Like, that's another, like, you know, whenever they offer those classes to active players, hey, you want to get in the media or whatever, you know, don't turn your nose at it, man. Like, you can really talk. So
I thought about it.
Just throwing that out there too.
No doubt. Hey, nothing's off the table.
Good.
Yeah.
Ever.
So I'm curious. Obviously, you've been in the dugout with Rob Thompson. Obviously, Girardi took over at the beginning, or Girardi was the manager at the beginning of last year. What do you see from Rob Thompson? Like, are you surprised at how well he's done since taking over for this team? I mean, again, you were in the clubhouse with him.
Not at all. I think Topper's the perfect guy for that group of guys. You know, I think he's a perfect manager, not only for the Phillies, but I mean, he could manage anywhere. He's just
nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Just got that. He's got that trust in his guys. I think, you know, when I was over there and even when I wasn't playing well, you know, Tomper always made me feel like I could go out there and get four hits that night. You know, he showed confidence in me, even when, you know, I didn't deserve it at times. I think that's just the kind of manager. That's just the kind of guy he is. He's even keeled. He, you know, there's no panic in Tomper. It's, you know, who he is what you get. And it's he's the perfect guy for that job. And, you know, when he got the job last year, that guy's been in baseball forever and, you know, never got the opportunity to manage. Yeah. And, you know, I remember when Girardi did get fired and we got the text that Tomper was going to be the manager. I just remember being, you know, it was a weird day, obviously, because you don't want your manager to get fired. But I remember being, you know, pretty excited to see what Tomper can do. And you know, just that first meeting we had with him in the clubhouse that day, you could feel that things were going to start changing. And obviously they did. I remember, I think we go on like a 10-game win streak after Tomper took over.
Yeah.
Something like that.
9 or 10, I think it was. Yeah.
And it was on after that. So, yeah, I'm excited to see him. You know, he's stayed in touch with me, you know, reached out from time to time. And, you know, he's always been in my corner, even when, you know, I was in the minor leagues and he was still the bench coach. So it's definitely really, really cool to see, really cool to watch.
Yeah, no, he comes on the morning show with us once every other week, and he's like the nicest guy in the world. And he's so genuine. He gives you honest answers, like really honest answers.
No doubt.
And obviously his story finally getting a chance at his age is amazing. One more for me, Mick. You mentioned the guys early on when you're talking about, you know, watching the squad last year and the ovations in Philly and all that. Like, you know, guys who are your best buds in the world, you know, guys you came up with, you know, seeing what Bryson, you know, Stott is doing this season, what Bomer's doing, what those guys that you kind of grew up with are doing. Like, what's that like to see? And did you know that they had it in them this quick? Like, that Bryson Stott could go from what he was last year to a guy who's like among the batting average leaders in the sport this year? Like, you know, what's it like to see that from afar, and did you expect it to happen this quick?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely expected it. I played with Bomer in, you know, that year in AA in 19 when he hit almost damn near 30 homers and hit 300. And, you know, it was, I remember just being like, that's going to play in the big leagues. I remember telling people, you know, he's one of the better hitters I've ever seen. And, you know, obviously he's doing what he's doing. Definitely not surprised by that. And then Stotter, you know, I got to play a little bit with Stotter, obviously the alt site, and then came up a little bit in 21 and in Lehigh, and then, you know, 22 last year, had a great spring training, obviously, and, you know, made the team and got off to a tough start, but that happens. You know, I think I remember there was some, like, analytical stat. You know, I'm not a big analytics guy. I don't really pay attention, but someone brought it up, and it was like he was hitting .180. But had some of the worst luck in baseball. Like, he could have been hitting like .250, .260. So, you know, I think him getting the opportunity and just getting more at bats, it's obviously, you know, it's baseball. Things are gonna turn, you know, if you just stay the course. And, you know, he's done that. Yeah, but by no means am I surprised with what they're doing. You know, they're studs. It's been fun to watch, and I'm excited to share the field with them again coming up, and even though it's in opposing dugout.
For sure. Now people do forget. I know Bohm and Stotter, you know, they get a lot of credit, Veerling, part of the Phillies daycare. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You were part of that as well. How did that, how did that whole thing start?
I think Schwarber was messing around with it one day, or maybe K-Long, talking about, you know, I think one of the games, there was like six of us in the lineup that day, and it's like, oh, and I think like a couple of us did something, we won the game, and I think they were just joking around about, you know, the daycare won the day, like won the game today, the daycare this, daycare that, and then we kind of ran with it, and you know, we made shirts and, you know, just kind of embraced it. And it was fun. You know, obviously you got guys like Schwarbs and JT and Bryce, you know, veteran guys. And then you had us young guys running around causing havoc. Nick Maton throwing up Wolfie to every single person. Veerling, Bomer being the guy he is, Stoddard. You know, I think it was fun. It was a good mix of young guys and older guys, and I think the older guys, they let us, you know, feel comfortable in that clubhouse last year, at least when I was there, and you know, kind of allowed us to be us and kind of mess around and let the youth, you know, take over a little bit. And I think that's kind of where the daycare kind of comes from.
Awesome. Now, people always talk about like Schwarber, and it's like, oh, he's batting 180, like this, 180, that, whatever. Like, and a lot of from the outside, it's like, he's a great leader, whatever. Like, what makes Schwarber like a great leader and like kind of changing that clubhouse around?
He's the same guy every day. And, you know, he wants everyone to be included. He wants, you know, the team to be doing stuff together. He wants to bond with everybody because he knows, you know, when you make those deep runs in the postseason, and he's been there a lot, you know, you got to be tight. You got to stick together. And, you know, you win, you lose. It's you play tomorrow. So, you know, he was good at, you know, celebrating the wins, and because it's hard to win the big leagues, and when you do win, you should enjoy it. But also, if you lose, screw it. Tomorrow's a new day, and you know, we got a game at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Doesn't change that game. So, I think just having that presence, having the experience that he's had in the postseason, and you know, just being there, winning a World Series. You know, I think that was huge for us last year to have him there. Yeah, man, I think, you know, when everyone talks about him being a good clubhouse guy, I think that's an understatement because, I mean, his value to a team is immense. You know, whether he's hitting a buck 80. I mean, he's hitting a buck 80, but he's got 30-some homers and he walks and gets on base. It's just like, you know. The old
it's not us saying it, Mick. It's not us saying it. No, it's people outside of us saying it. Yeah.
Hey, and people are, you know how it goes. Everyone's got their opinion and they're entitled to it. But he's, you know, I think he's playing to his contract. He's playing to what the Phillies thought of him. And you know, I can't begin to tell you guys how much he means to that clubhouse for sure. At least, you know, when I was there. And I'm sure still to this day.
I'm sure. I don't think he's changed in the last year and a half. Last one for me. So you obviously play with Shohei. You play with Trout. But I know you're also in attendance for, speaking of Schwarbs, his 488-foot home run in San Diego last year. Furthest ball you've ever seen live is the Schwarber home run or what?
You know, it might. I think Sho might have hit one 490 something this year, unfortunately.
I'm sure he did.
But
yeah, of course he did. Why not?
Put it this way. I went to Petco Park growing up as a kid, you know, my whole life until I got drafted and went to a bunch of Padre games. And I was at one of the Dodger games. We were sitting up in right field a little bit. There's like a little tunnel. We were kind of right above the tunnel for the game. And I remember someone nearby asking, like, you think we're going to get a home run hit here? And I was like, no, never seen a ball hit here. I don't think so. Maybe. And then obviously was there for the series against the Phillies. And he went over that upper deck. So, I mean, he did something that I didn't think was possible. And I've watched a lot of home runs been hit in that stadium. And that was by far the furthest one I've seen hit in that stadium for sure.
It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the dude is just, I mean, so when he gets a hold of one, like really get, even when he doesn't, when he like hits off the end of the bat, it finds its way out. But I mean, when he really gets a hold of one, it's majestic. It's unlike many things I've seen. Mick, seriously, like we can't tell you how much it means to us to spend some time with us. And I said at the top, and it's true, you're our favorite baseball player. I apologize to all the Phillies. We love all our Phillies. They're all of them are our second favorite, but you're our top guy. We're rooting for you. We're pulling for you. I'll be at the game on Wednesday. I'll be giving you a standing out. You can promise you that. you're our guy, man. Thanks. Thanks for everything. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you guys, man. All the support, everything. It's good to talk to you guys again. Be good to see you guys, hopefully, in the next couple days.
Yeah, man.
For sure. Now, take it easy, though. Like, you know, we got to, like...
Listen, we still, we're not knocked out of it yet.
No, you're not. Yeah.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
Everyone just does their best. Let's all go out there.
Everyone go out there and have a good time. All right, Mick. Thanks so much, man.
I appreciate you guys.
The best. The best. Plus, I didn't call Mickey Morandini at the end of the interview. So I was guys proud of myself, you know.
Didn't mess that up.
Yeah.
I do like that the YouTube audience just saw you what we do when we play interviews, which is like pause.
Oh, yeah, just the pause.
5 seconds.
All right, 27 minutes because I'm editing. So 27 minutes in. Got it.
Cut it. So got
it. People listening, magic. You heard it that way.
Right. But yeah, he's just. I thought he had good stuff on the Phils, and
me too.
You know,
I was curious. He could do TV or radio someday. Like, he's a really good talker. He's clearly a very bright guy. I think it was really interesting to hear him talk about the fresh start stuff and all that. Like, he seems introspective. Like, he's a good thinker. He's awesome, man. Like, that's why we loved him originally. Like, we rooted for him as a player. The reason we loved to have him on the pod is because, you know, we used to have all these, not that we had many, you know, big time guests or anything back in the day, but, you know, we would get like minor league guys on or whatever. We had Boehm on and not like any of these guys were bad talkers or anything, but they just weren't like super talkative or whatever. And Mickey came on and he was just like ripping off jokes and being awesome. We were like, our guy.
Yeah. The YouTube commenters were all confused as to why that we stopped talking.
Yes, so that's why I explained it. Okay, so that's why. So YouTube commenters, that's a little tease for you. You got to listen to the actual podcast, and then you get to hear our interview with Mickey Moniak.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.